But first, I have a gift.
Actually, it was left in the ladies' room. So,
if this is your phone, it could have been someone from last night. Who knows? They had an event in here. But if this is yours, pick it up. It's cracked on the back, but it still works. There was a missed call from Chris, too. So, I turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll begin there in just a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll share with you a cool gift that I got this year. And I met Naomi from East Lansing. That's Michigan State, not Michigan. So just make sure we get that correct. Liz's parents, and they said, oh, we got a baby for the holidays. I thought, okay, you win. Game over. Livy, I forgot how beautiful and small and precious and just cool babies are. So, all kinds of gifts. Good to meet you guys. Glad you're with us this morning. Here's the coolest gift that I got. You ever do that thing when you're going to open something and you judge it by the wrapping, the size? Of course you do. We all do that. Well, I got this from my daughter, and I open it up, and it's, that's it. It's just a drawing of our family. And I was like, it just doesn't get any better. It was just sincere. My daughter, she's 8, and she just meant it, and I just thought, that right there, you can't buy that. Best Buy does not sell that. So that, for me, that was just really special. I think we need to have moments like that to remind us of the things that are really important. And I hope that you got some of those memories over the holidays of what's really important, and God can ground us in that way. I want to talk to you this morning about how God is the greatest giver of them all. I was reminded of that. Have you seen It's a Wonderful Life? I've never seen that. So we saw it this, and we watched it together as a family, and it was really fantastic. I'd never seen it before. I thought, we get thumbs up for that.
Yes.
But there are also some adult things. Because when you watch stuff with your kids, you think, oh, wait a second. What?
Yeah.
But what would your life, what would the world be like if your life was not part of it? What? That's the theme of the movie. It's like, what would happen if you had never been born? The lives that have been affected. And I thought for me, what would my life be like without the presence of Jesus? Mm-hmm. What would I be like right now? What would my marriage be like? Would I even be married? Would I be a good friend to someone? Like, I know who I was before I was a Christian, and I don't even really want to think about what my life would be like if Jesus had not come in and just changed everything. So then I look around at my house and my family and my kids and every great thing that's happening. I think this is all because of the presence of Jesus. And I really, for me, that's the spirit of this time of year. I don't know how you feel about giving gifts, but our culture tells us that we've got to do a lot and spend a lot and give the right things. And in fact, our country spends an average of $700 per person around the holidays. I don't know, are you average? Are you above average? $700. Here's the thing. Retailers expect $465 billion to be spent from like Halloween to the end of the year. That's a lot. We spend $350 million just on Halloween pet costumes.
What?
Wait a second.
No.
Wow. So I asked you to sort of consider, well, what was the best gift you gave, or the best gift that you got, or the best gift that you've ever given? I told the story, the best gift I've ever got is when my wife bought me a motorcycle. Oh my gosh, yes. I love telling that story.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be telling that story when I'm like, I'll be 80 years old on the front porch. Let me tell you about the time. Something like that. My wife bought me a motorcycle. That's probably one of the best gifts ever. It's kind of, it's all downhill from there, really. So I asked myself, if we're going to study out the concept of giving in the scriptures, there's 158 passages that just talk about giving. I thought, well, There's a lot of material in there. And a lot of them describe God as someone who gives. Now, I don't know what your theology is like this morning. I don't know what you think about God. If you just consider, what is he like right now? He gives, and he gives graciously. He doesn't give like sometimes we think. There's no weird strings attached. You know, sometimes you give and you feel like, oh, well, I've just gotten a lot. Do I owe this person something now? Is that,
right.
Like giving and receiving, it challenges us. You think, am I even worthy to receive something? You know, is this gift too nice for me? Is it not nice enough? Is it? And I think just talking about giving forces us to deal with our theology. Who is God? Who am I? Am I even worthy to receive all these things that he's given? I just want to read a couple of scriptures. We'll get to 1 Corinthians 2 in just a minute. But here's some imagery to think about. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 says, each one of us, God has given grace, and he apportioned it that way. This is why it said, when he ascended on high, he took many captives in his train, and he gave gifts to his people. So just think about this for a second. Let's imagine Jesus. I don't know what you think about Jesus right now. If you just imagine something in your mind. But this is some imagery of Jesus sort of as a conqueror. Think about Hollywood and some great graphics. Just think about 3D. You got your 3D glasses on, and here's Jesus. He's ascending on high. He has a train, a long train, and there are people that are following him like the wake of a giant ship. And what's he doing? He's just giving out gifts. He's giving spiritual gifts to people. That image to me was very powerful. Jesus is a giver, and he's given to every single person here. In Luke chapter 11, verse 9, Jesus is describing the character of God, and he basically says, don't you know how to give good gifts to your kids? Like if a kid asks you for something, are you going to give him a scorpion or a snake? Of course not. He said, so if you, even though you're sinful, know how to give good gifts, how much more does God know how to give good gifts? So Jesus calls out, even though you're sinful, you understand giving a good, right? You know, you're not going to give your kid a, well, how much more does God know what we need? In fact, in John chapter 1 and verse 16, I'm reading a lot of scriptures today, but we're going to get here in just a second. 1 Corinthians 2. John chapter 1 says that, from Jesus, we have received one blessing after another. One blessing after another. That just describes your life. If you're a disciple, Jesus is Lord of your life, you're making a sincere effort to not just be a religious person, but to follow him, to be in his presence. What you get from God is one judgment after another. Oh, wait a second. One guilt after another. One blessing. That's good news right there. Now, think about the way our society describes Jesus and the way that he actually is. What we've gotten from God is one blessing after another. Just one after another, after another, after another. It's just like, that's who our God is. Okay, let's pick up here at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I just want to go through briefly a list of things that God has given to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll begin reading here. In verse 12, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. That's pretty cool right there. The first thing is, God has given us his spirit, his presence, that is available to us 24/7. We can be in the presence of God, and what does the spirit do for us? Well, he helps us understand the gifts. Did you catch that part? It's like we almost need to have a spiritual mindset to even understand any of these things. Like, if I just ask you right now, make a list of the things that God has given you. You might be, some of us, if we're spiritual, that's a long list and it just comes really natural, really easy. Oh, it's this and this and this. Some of us, it's like, It's like you almost have to get prepared spiritually just to remember, oh, wow, God's done this and this and this.
Yeah.
So many things. That's what the Spirit does for you, is remind you. And that you may understand what he is. Begrudgingly? What does that say? Freely.
Amen.
Let that shape your theology. Here's what God does. He freely gives. He's not, it's not like, well, I'm almost maxed out on my credit of giving. Think about what your process is when you want to buy something for somebody. Wow, I'd really love to give this great gift, but I don't have enough, or wow, that's going to cost me, or God doesn't even go through that math. He just gives. It's abundant. It's just over and over. He never gets close to his limit. He just gives and gives and gives and he gives.
Amen.
I want that to shape my theology.
Yes.
God is not stingy. He's not Scrooge. Although, what a great character. But he just gives and he gives and he gives girlfriends. Look on Facebook and Alex got a girlfriend. Wow. There is a God. And so when we're close to God and we're in touch with the Spirit of God, we're able to remember and to understand the things that He's given us, and we remember what it's really all about. We're tempted in our American culture to think, I've been given based on, well, my neighbor, or this or that, or the way that the world measures things. This says, God did not give us the spirit of the world, but He gave us Himself so we can have a godly perspective on what He's freely given us. For me, that's where I want to start. A spiritual understanding of what's really valuable and what God has really done for me. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 says that it describes what the gift of God is. It's eternal life. God has life in abundance. Think about the death that we see all around us. I know for me, the holidays are a tough time because, you know, there's been some death associated in our family with this time of year. It's hard, and a lot of people, you may feel the same way. Think about, you know, how you feel when you're at a funeral, or when you consider death, or when you consider, man, wow, this person's life was taken, or this is, you know, my life is not going to go on forever. Like, consider, but God says, no, actually, your life is going to go on. If you're with me, I'm going to give you something so far beyond. I demonstrated that I have power over death by raising Jesus from the dead, and I will give that to you too. That's just extraordinary. That's preach it in baby speak. That's consider this. That is the gift of God, is eternal life. Do you know God also gives us authority in our life? How much authority do you think you have right now? And how do you measure that authority? Is it the amount of people that you oversee? Is it the amount of direct reports to your company? Is it, how would you define authority? Let's look over here and let's see how Jesus defines it. Look over here in Luke chapter 10. We'll talk about another gift that Jesus has given us. And that is authority in the spiritual realm. Luke chapter 10. I'll begin reading here. In verse 18. Luke chapter 10 is when Jesus sends out 72. He says, I want you to go out and I want you to start doing what I've been doing, which is teaching and preaching. They come back and they report to him in verse 17. It says that the 72 returned with joy. I think that's important. When you follow what Jesus says you should do, you usually come back joyous. Right? They said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. It's like, you won't believe what happened, man. This crazy... Wow, you sent us out there, you gave us authority, and all this spiritual stuff started happening. Verse 18, Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. What? All right, just let's think about that for a second. You know, I don't know what your vision of Satan is right now. But Jesus is saying, let me show you what's going to happen in the end when God ultimately triumphs over good and evil and shows His greatness. What's going to happen is all the evil is just going to, just flee from His presence. Verse 19, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
That's pretty cool. Wow. How much authority do you have? Well, in the name of Jesus, you have authority over all things. All the forces of evil. That means you can say Jesus' name to a force that's attacking you, materialism, greed, lust. I was talking with somebody recently who was dealing with dreams. They just in the middle of the night, they'd wake up at like 3 in the morning, just feeling like, and they described, they said, I feel like it's a demon that's sitting on my chest and just choking me. You know, that's actually a fairly common thing. Just Google that. Lots of people experience that. But you know what makes it go away? When people say Jesus' name.
Amen.
Check it out. Yes. What? Are you saying? Well, I'm saying there's forces of evil, and they submit to Jesus, even when you don't believe. Mm-hmm. Just Google that. That's actually a common thing. People wake up and they feel attacked, and they feel like they get a glimpse into the spiritual realm. But you know what makes it stop? Saying Jesus' name.
Amen.
You have authority in Jesus' name. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Now you do. So he's given us eternal life. He's given us one blessing after another. He's given us authority. That means we don't have to be slaves to these forces.
Amen.
In our life.
Amen.
That in Jesus' name we can live freely. But we got to take advantage of it. That's sort of, we got to do our part. All right. Let's read something deep. This is good. This is as deep as we're going to get right here. Okay. Thought we were deep already, man. You told me.
Yeah,
you Let's go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I'm just sort of describing. I basically just looked up the word gift. So we're going to read Romans chapter 11. This is Paul speaking to the church in Rome. And chapter 10 and 11 is talking about really the old covenant. It's talking about the nation of Israel, the history, and how we're sort of the new Israel. He describes it like a tree with branches. And something's been, one of the branches is ripped off, another one's been put back in. Really cool symbolism here. And then in Romans chapter 11, let's read here in verse 17. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted. But they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider, therefore, the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they'll be grafted in. And God is able to graft them in. Again, after all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature were grafted in to a cultivated tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brother. See, it's a little bit mysterious. If you're reading for this the first time, like, wait, what, huh, what? Just think about your Christmas tree. Think about a real one and a fake one. You know, can you take a fake one and just graft in a living branch? No, you can't really do that. It's two branches that are, and the people of Israel, because they didn't accept Jesus, were sort of cut off of that. But the even Gentiles, just regular people who believed in Jesus, were sort of grafted in, and that's what God has done. He's taken you, just put you in there. And it made that noise when you're baptized. Now, let's read the part about God's gift, verse 28. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account, but as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable.
Amen.
You ever want to take something back? You ever exchange a gift? As soon as you open it, I'm taking this back. Of course you do. Here's what God says. When he gives you his gift and his call, can't give it back. Mm. Can't take it back and exchange it for another one. You have to just receive what he's given and then realize you try to give it back. Oh, I'm not worthy. God says, can't give it back.
Amen.
You know how many times I've thought about leaving God? Can I just be honest with you? Yes. Okay.
I've been a Christian like 18 years, almost 19. A lot of times I just want to quit. I'm like, man, this is too hard. Gosh, this is so hard. And so many times I've sort of, you go through the mat, well, can't quit. Where am I going to go? What do you
think?
Jesus, yes, I know it's hard.
It's so worth it.
Yes.
Yeah. You can't give it back! You know, I was just sitting there, I was praying, I was sort of crying. I was like, gosh, but this is hard, but can't give it back.
Right.
I can be disobedient all day long. I could just forget it, not going to church anymore, not going to care, not going to love people. But the presence and what God has done for me can never, ever, ever go away from me. Yeah. Neither can you. You may disobey, you may get upset with people, you may not go to church for a while, you may, whatever. We do all of our weird stuff. But the presence of God and what He's given to us, can't give it back, man. Once He gives you, it's irrevocable. I don't care what you've done, what mistakes you've made, where you've been spiritually. Look, you've been up and down. You've done great. You've done terrible. The presence of God and what you know is true, what you know is right, what He gave you will never go away.
Amen. Amen.
Pretty good stuff right there, isn't it? Yeah. All right, that's as deep as we're getting. So if you want to study more on that, Romans 10, it's amazing. It's really, really great.
Yes.
Even when we want to give it back.
Right.
God says, nope, I gave you my present. You will keep it. 1 John chapter 5. We'll read a couple more scriptures and we'll be done. The gifts of God. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to read how this letter closes out. 1 John chapter 5. So we started off talking about how God gives us the Spirit to understand things and really just to be able to meditate on what He's given us. 1 John chapter 5 verse 20 says, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true. And we who are in Him who is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ, He is the true God and eternal life. And He's given us understanding. One of the most comforting things to me is to be able to look at my life and to interpret things that are happening in a spiritual way. To not just say, well, there's no purpose for any of this stuff. So that when bad things happen, I can actually have a framework of understanding, oh, God wants to accomplish something in this terrible thing, this hard thing. I was explaining to my daughter, when my wife got into a car accident on the highway, it's one of the hardest things that ever happened. But it was such a gift, because now looking back on it and reflecting, it made me much more grateful for who she is, much more grateful for her life, much more grateful, like, what if she had died that day? What if she was paralyzed for the rest of her life? What if, what if, what if? And it was one of the most profound and educational and beautiful and graceful experiences, even though it was unbelievably hard. And I was trying to explain this to my daughter. So we're listening to a song called Don't Wonder About Him. Anybody remember The Deeper Shade of Soul?
Yeah.
God, I love that, man. When I'm not feeling great coming to church, I just pop that on. I'm like, oh, I'm good. There's a song called Don't Wonder About Him. And my daughter's like, what are they saying? She just didn't understand that concept. I was like, well, sometimes, you know. Like, God works in wonders. That's one of the lyrics. Okay, well, sometimes bad things happen, but God works for the good.
Right.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. So, you know, explaining theology to an 8-year-old makes to simplify all this. And then I realize, oh, that's what God is trying to teach me. God works in wonders, and He gives us understanding. 1 John, the end of the book, wraps up by saying, Jesus gives you understanding. That you can think about your life, and things make sense in a spiritual way. Isn't that beautiful? James chapter 4, verse 6, we won't read this one, but this says that God gives us more grace. When you think you, I like, am I done? How much more grace? Well, more. He's going to give you more. And isn't that what we need? More and more grace. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need. So, if you're sitting there thinking, well, all right, that's great. He gave us Jesus. He gave us the cross, the Holy Spirit, the Bible. You make your list of everything. Let's just cover all the rest of it right here. Everything else you need. That's what God has given you.
Yes.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
Yes.
How great if we actually believe that. We walked around believing that He's given us everything we need for a godly life. You know, you can do a good study. Just look up the word gifts and giving and receiving. You find out that God is gracious and He gives and He gives and He continues to give more and more and more. He doesn't run out. He gives us more and more grace. And it's not about your performance. Because here's the thing. You are not worthy. And neither am I. So let's just go ahead and accept that. Oh, great. But He loves me anyway.
Amen.
He That's good news.
Yes.
So, I don't have to earn it. I don't have to be good enough. I don't have to freak out and be guilty about it. Because God is generous and gracious. And even when I can't understand that, He gives us more grace. Thank you, God, for giving us more and more grace. I saw a cool video this week on YouTube about a homeless guy. This guy he walks up to a homeless guy and he gives him $100. You know, he's holding his little sign there. And he walks up to him and he goes, I want to give you this money. And thank you. At first he says, oh, thank you. Then the guy, he's like at 520. He said, whoa, wait, no. And then he said, no, you can't give me that much, basically. And this little exchange happened. No, I want to give you this. No, and you know. And so they have this little exchange and he gives him a hug and then the guy walks away. But then they film him. Okay, so then they're filming. What's the guy going to do? You ever thought about that? Mm-hmm. What if I give money? He's going to go to the liquor store.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Can you control where he goes? Mm-hmm. Just give it. Give. God says give. Don't worry about what he does. Well, they film the guy. First thing he does is walk to the liquor store. You're like, oh, no. But it's one of those that sells like all kinds of stuff, right? So they thought, well, he's just going to go and booze it up. He comes walking out with a big bag of stuff. And then they continue following him. They watch him. Then he goes to a park like 3 blocks away. And he's bought food. And he just gives it to other people.
Wow.
And then you're like, I'm judging every person. And then it's like, that's what I did. I just thought, man. But here's this homeless guy. He takes the $100, he spends it all, and gives it away to other people. Man. So then the guy comes back and he goes, hey, what are you doing here? You know, he's like, well, I've been filming the whole time. What have you?
Yeah.
So he filmed this guy going to different. Did you know that guy? No. He walks up to a total stranger, to people in the park having, and he goes, I just want you to have this. He gave the money away. So then he said, well, man, I saw you going to the liquor store, and I thought you were, he goes, oh, no, I want to buy. And then he tells him his story about how he's just a normal guy, and the guy's like really articulate. And, well, you know, I was living with my parents, and then my dad died, and my mom died shortly after that, and I couldn't get credit. Lost my job. He goes, you know, most of these people around here, they're like one decision, one bad thing from, and then it's just like all of, you're just like, oh, okay. And he goes, man, I want to give you some more money. So the guy gives him more money, gives him another, because he just saw what the guy was going to do with it. I just thought, you know, man, it just broke every stereotype that I had about these things, and it was powerful. And I want the Word of God, the reality of who God is, to break my religious stereotypes. Because I think that God does, he does this, and if I do this, I'll do that. All your religious math, throw it away!
Amen.
Throw it all away, and just let God do what He does, and let Him blow your mind with the gifts and the things that you think, well, but this, I want to give this back. No, you don't. God's like, you really, really need this. No, let me give it back. No, you all the things that we do, all that math that we do, let's just let God, man, He knows exactly what I need.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He knows exactly. He's going to give me exactly what I need so that I'll make it. Amen?
Yeah.
That's our God. That's who He is. So, that's what I've sort of been meditating on this week. Gifts, giving. I want to read your scripture, and then we're going to take communion together. We're going to sing a song together. And, you know, normally, sometimes we do communion and it's kind of heavy, and we focus on Friday, the Friday part of the communion. We're like, oh, He died for me, He died for my sin, He died. But, you know, as I read the scriptures, I think it's much more about Sunday. It's much more about celebration. There's a time for me to directly associate my sin with the cross, because absolutely, that's totally in there. But so is the resurrection, and so is the joy and the grace and all of that. So let's do something a little different today. Let's receive the gift God has freely given us without guilt and shame. And when He said, it is finished, you know what's in that it? All your guilt, all your shame, all your excuses, it. It's all finished. So can we rejoice in that? Yes. Receive. Oh, I'm so happy about this gift. So I want to read a scripture. I'm going to have the singers come back up. We're going to sing a song. And I'm going to read a scripture before we do. Second Peter chapter 2. You guys come on back up. I referenced this earlier, but I want to just read it again. Second Peter chapter 2. It's actually for, it's actually chapter 2 Peter chapter 1. This says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through Him, through them, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You know, the cross means He's given us everything we need, and we can celebrate that.
Yes.
So we're going to sing a song, and I'll have the ushers, as they're singing, we'll go, let's take communion together as we sing. It's a little unorthodox, but I have to. Let's pray, and then we'll sing. Father, You're so good to us, God. You give us everything that we need. And thank You for reminding us of that this morning. God, I pray that we will, God, be in touch with Your Spirit who reminds us and helps us to understand of all Your great and precious promises. Thank You for this fellowship. Thank You for the brothers and sisters who are here this morning. And God, we want to lift up Jesus and, God, be encouraged by how much You love us. God, how You give us one blessing after another. Let us celebrate and have joy in our hearts. That's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Like a hurricane, I will dream. God, thank you so much for just to think about all the gifts that you've given us so freely, God. That you just give it to us and say, yep, thank you. To hear stories of people who are giving, like that homeless man, an example that he sets, God, just remind us, little pieces or glimpses of what you're all about, God. Thank you so much that you love us regardless of where we're at right this second, God. Thank you so much that we have an opportunity just to come to you, God, and to be in your presence, to see you for who you really are, to know the truth, God, the truth that just sets us free, Father, and will help us to come closer to the spiritual gifts that you have prepared for us, God. That we're all grafted together in this beautiful tree that you've made, God, that you just set forth eternity, God, that you're preparing a room for each and every person, God, that you love us so much, God, and that eternal life and joy and peace and patience and kindness and all those beautiful things, God, don't just wait for us in heaven, but God, are for us right now, God, that we can experience that joy and that peace in our life right now, God, even when we don't understand how to do that, God, that your word will give us the faith, God, the guidance, God, will break down all barriers of the religious things that we think you might be like, but that your word so much just breaks it down, God, and shows us who you really are, God. Help us to see Jesus for who he really is, God. Help us to respect and love who he is, God, and what he's all about. And help us, God, as we work on our repentance, God, that we work towards it because we love you, God, not because we are guilted into it, God, but because the love and the joy and the peace and the patience that we're going to experience, God, just by knowing who you are, repenting, and feeling that time of refreshing, God. Help us, God, to support one another, God, to be there for each other, to be your kingdom here on earth, that we don't just call each other brothers and sisters, God, but that we act like real brothers and sisters, God. Because we know that by serving others, God, that we will be giving so much more, God. Help us to just go out and serve, God, and to give and to be workers of the harvest, God, as you showed us, God, and asked us to pray for the workers of the harvest, God. I pray that you send the workers of the harvest out, God. Help us to just serve, to wash feet, God, to love others as you love us so much. Thank you so much for your Son. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for joy that you set before us. We love you so much, and it's in your Son's name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, before we dismiss, I just have two announcements. First of all, the men are going to have the men's retreat January 9th through 11th. And this is going to be at Keith's place. We're going to crash Keith's place.
Yeah.
Lisa will take care of it, I promise. I felt like I needed to say that. January 9th through 11th. And Emily's moving to Philly.
Oh.
And that's the sound we make. About that, but give her one last hug. We know we'll stay in touch because we have to. And no, I'm serious. We have to.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Lastly, one thing to pray about. So when everyone is in town and we have our friends with us, we're kind of outgrowing this room, which is a good thing. Amen for that. We've got it for a few more months if we want it, but we're looking for a new place to meet. There's a church building. It is for rent. I'm actually going there tomorrow. It's the place we met Easter a couple years ago, if you were here years ago. It's a really cool. Now, here's the thing. It's an actual church building with, like, stained glass and pews and stuff, which will be different if we actually were to meet there. But I want to just ask for the church to pray about that and make it obvious whether or not we need to be there. And, we're going to go in the morning and sort of look around and talk about will it work for us. So it's a viable place. It's right off the highway. It's right next to the homeless mission. So there's, like, an opportunity to serve and do some other things.
Mm-hmm.
So just pray about that. Pray for guidance and direction there. And that is all. We're dismissed. Have a wonderful holiday, and we'll see you. We'll be right back here next week.
Oh. 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 Sorry.